This is the 11th of a series of 12 teachings on the Book of Exodus, presented by the Reverend John W. Howe, rector of Truro Episcopal Church in Fairfax, Virginia. The title of the teaching is A Meditation for Father's Day, and the scripture reference is Exodus chapter 18.
I want to share a brief meditation tonight. If you'd turn with me, guess where? Book of Exodus, chapter 18. We're coming nearly to the end of what really is phase one of the book of Exodus, up to the time of receiving the Ten Commandments. And this is an important little episode in chapter 18. Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Now Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, had taken Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her away, and her two sons, of whom the name of the one was Gershom, for he said, I have been a sojourner in a foreign land, and the name of the other, Eleazar, for he said, the God of my father was my help, and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife to Moses in the wilderness, where he was encamped at the mountain of God. That's at the foot of Mount Sinai. We're just about to receive the Ten Commandments. Jethro comes to Moses, and all the people are encamped at the foot of the mountain. And when one told Moses, Lo, your father-in-law Jethro is coming to you with your wife and her two sons with her. Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and did obeisance and kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare and went into the tent. Then Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship that had come upon them in the way, and how the Lord had delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the good which the Lord had done to Israel, in that he had delivered them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Moses told Jethro all that the Lord had done. The last time that Moses and Jethro had seen each other was way back in chapter 4. Some of you may remember it. It was just after Moses had been called to lead this people out of bondage. And Moses' confidence in the Lord back then was so fragile. God says, I'm going to take you and use you to deliver my people Israel from bondage. And Moses is so uptight about that role that when he goes and tells Jethro about it, he says, I got to go down to Egypt to visit my relatives. Remember that whole story. I mean, he can't even say what his real mission is. That's how fearful, that's how green he was in chapter 4. He says, I got to go down and see if my kinsmen are still alive. How very much adventure has unfolded since then. Moses has become adept at the use of supernatural gifts, which are signs to the people and signs to Pharaoh. He and Aaron have begun to become a team. With fear and trembling and then with increasing boldness and confidence, he's pronounced God's word to Pharaoh, and 10 times in a row he's seen God confirm it with plagues that could have been avoided had the Egyptians obeyed God, but they didn't, and they brought it upon themselves. 10 times in a row, God has demonstrated his power and vindicated Moses. Plague after awful plague has led inexorably, finally, to their release, exactly as God had promised, to the liberation of Israel, and finally, to the annihilation of their enemies. They've walked dry-shod across the Red Sea, while the mightiest army in the history of the world has been drowned as it tried to follow them. They've headed into the Sinai Desert with provisions for what? Maybe a week, 2 weeks? And then seen God begin to provide supernatural bread and quail and water from the rock. They've gone to Marah and seen God change bitter water into sweet. They found themselves in the midst of the desert where there was nothing to drink, and God has opened up springs in the wilderness. Do you think that any of that has changed Moses? Would it have changed you? Do you think he's the same man that he was 14 chapters ago? God has been doing an incredible work in Moses. And in chapter 4, Moses had come to the place where God insisted that before he try to lead a whole nation, he had to work it out in his own family. Some of you will remember that story. His own sons had not been circumcised, which was the very sign of the covenant. And you sort of have to read between the lines. You become aware that their mother had resisted that. She was pagan. Her father was pagan. He was a pagan priest in the land of Midian. And so Moses had consented to his wife's resistance until God said, "You're not going to lead anybody until you sort it out in your own family." You remember the story? And finally he did. The sons were circumcised, and then he left wife and sons with Jethro. They didn't accompany him back to Egypt. They have not been part of any of this saga of the last 14 chapters. They're seeing each other now again for the first time. I wonder if it impresses you. It strikes me that Moses hears Jethro is coming. He doesn't even wait for him to get there. He gets up, goes to him, and does obeisance. Moses has become the greatest man and the most powerful man in all the world in his generation. Certainly one of the greatest figures of all of human history. And here's his pagan father-in-law who has been instrumental in his wife's resisting God's will for the family. Moses gets up and goes and does obeisance to his father-in-law. The anointing of God is upon Moses. And his understanding of God towers above that of Jethro. I mean, Jethro is still a polytheist at this point. Mind you, he's about to be converted. But at this point, he still worships the gods. Wouldn't you think that Moses could sit and say, "This dumb father-in-law of mine, he ought to be coming and doing obeisance to me." But that's not what it says. It says in the Gospel of Luke that the young boy Jesus increased in stature with God and man. Increased in stature with God and man. Do you know, I think that it is a principle of Scripture that to increase in stature with God is to increase in humility. And that leads to an increase in stature with men. There's a remarkable statement in the Old Testament that says that Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth. The greatest man was the most humble. And he goes and does obeisance to his father-in-law. Look at the next few verses. Jethro said, "Blessed be the Lord who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, because he delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians when they dealt arrogantly with them." And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, offered a burnt offering and sacrifices to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. Jethro, already a priest, becomes converted to the supremacy of the true God because of his son-in-law's witness. And I wonder if he was open to that conversion because of the way Moses treated him. I mean, how often we have the Lord touch our lives and then we suddenly think we're superior to everybody else, especially the members of our family, right? I mean, they don't know from nothing. And Moses goes and humbles himself before his father-in-law and then bears his witness in that context, and the father-in-law accepts it and worships God. Listen to what follows. On the morrow, Moses sat down to judge the people, and the people stood about Moses from morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, "What is this that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone and all the people stand about you from morning till evening?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, they come to me, and I decide between a man and his neighbor, and I make them know the statutes of God and his decisions." And Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What you are doing is not good." Can you imagine saying that to Moses? "What you are doing is not good." He says, "You and the people with you will wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to perform it alone." And so he gives him counsel. "Listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel, and God be with you. You shall represent the people before God and bring their cases to God, and you shall teach them the statutes and the decisions and make them know the way in which they must walk and what they must do. Moreover, choose able men from all the people, such as fear God, men who are trustworthy and who hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as rulers of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens, and let them judge the people at all times. Every great matter they shall bring to you, but any small matter they shall decide themselves, so it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this, and God so commands you," in other words, weigh this counsel, "here's my best advice, you check it out with God. If you do this and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure and all this people will go to their place in peace." Just straightforward, good, common sense. Do you know that that becomes the basis of the whole structure of the church, both in the Old Testament and in the New? That's the beginning of the system of elders in the Old Testament. That carries right over into the New Testament with the distinction between apostles and deacons, and eventually between bishops, priests, and deacons. That's the basis for organizing the church as it grows. That's the reason for our shepherd groups here. This very obvious common sense. Except until Jethro gave it, nobody had thought of it. And Moses heeded the counsel of his father-in-law. Listen to what it says. "Moses gave heed to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and tens, and they judged the people at all times. Hard cases they brought to Moses, but any small matter they decided themselves. And then Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his own way to his own country." Strikes me that that's not a bad meditation for 2 days before Father's Day. Do you know that no matter what achievements God permits you to have in this life, what degrees you earn in university or what positions you hold in government or in your business or what place you have in society or the honor and esteem that people shower upon you, do you know that however important you become in the Church of Jesus Christ, however much you are used in influencing tens of thousands of people, do you know you're still your parents' child? and you never outgrow that? And you never, never outgrow the commandment to honor your parents? Do you know that? And that includes your parents in law? You never outgrow it. It doesn't mean that you always obey them. Sometimes they're going to be wrong. As you become an adult, sometimes you're going to disagree with them. Even and especially when you have to disagree with them, you honor them. With high public esteem, Moses did obeisance. The greatest man in his generation did obeisance to a confused pagan because he happened to be his father-in-law. And out of that right relationship, God used Moses to win his father-in-law. But note this, God also used the father-in-law to instruct Moses. Do you know that your pagan father-in-law can be used of God to give you some good advice? You never outgrow it. I remember several years ago coming to a point where I had to make a decision about something, and I was pretty sure what I ought to do, but I felt it would be right to call up my father and ask his advice. And I got him on the telephone, and you know, I was married very young and hadn't really asked my dad's advice about much for years. I got him on the telephone and I told him what the situation was, and I said, "Dad, I really need your advice." And there was a very long silence. And then I realized my father was weeping. He said, "Do you know how long it's been since you asked my advice about anything?" And he gave me his advice, and it was good advice. And I took his advice. And do you know, it was very shortly after that that he gave his life to Christ. That's not the reason. But did it have some small part to play in it? Moses never outgrew being the child of his parents, the son-in-law of his father-in-law. And neither do we. And as we honor our folks, God will win them to himself. And he'll be able to use them to correct us. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, on this weekend of Father's Day, we'd pause to give you thanks for the parents and for some of us for the in-laws that you've given us. Lord, in all of their imperfection, we thank you that you loved us enough to give those folks to us. And we'd ask you to show us ways to honor them, to express our love to them, for your great name's sake. Amen.